Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. 28 minutes past 6, you are listening to Radio Islam on Medium Wave 1548, and welcome to the program In Focus. Today we have Mufti Ilyas in our studios, and we are carrying on with our topic, Dajjal Part 5. And we carry on with the minor signs that we were discussing, and also if we have time, inshallah, we are going to go on to discussing and introducing the personality of Dajjal. And this is a phone-in program. You can call us on 854-6854 or fax us on 854-7024 with any questions you have on the topic Dajjal or any related questions or contributions. Mufti Sahib is in the studio, and inshallah he will answer these questions. But before we carry on, we'd like to welcome Mufti Sahib to the studios once again. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahib.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
And jazakallah to Mufti Sahib. You know, Mufti Sahib comes all the way from Rainswood, which is like 80 kilometers, I think, from Indonesia. So quite a distance to travel, and we do appreciate you coming to the studios. And as we start off, we have some questions that have come in from listeners, and these don't relate to the topic of Dajjal, but if you have any questions on any other topics and you want us to answer it, we will try and answer that before we go on discussing our scheduled program. We have some questions regarding Salah for ladies, and inshallah Mufti Sahib can assist us with answering them. The first question is, can a lady become an imam for ladies only Jamaat? And if so, can she read out aloud?
As far as the Jamaat for ladies is concerned, according to the Hanafi school of thought, that it is makruh for ladies to have the Jamaat Salat. However, due to some circumstances, if they happen to perform Salat or Jamaat, then the female will lead the female. It is not permissible for the female to lead the male. The female will lead the female, and she will stand in the center. And she will not stand like how the male imam stands in front. She will stand amongst the ladies, but in the center.
Okay. And if she makes her salah at home, can she read out aloud in obviously Fajr, Maghrib and Isha?
Although it will be permissible for her to do so if no one is listening, because her voice in Salat, as recorded in the hadiths of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are aura, so she should abstain and make these Salat silently also.
Okay. And if a Jamaat is formed at home with her husband only, then how must they stand?
The husband obviously will be the imam, and after, about behind the husband, the lady will stand, and they will not stand like how two men stand, because when two men stand and one is the imam and one is the follower, the muqtadi, then the imam stands a little behind him, a very little behind him stands the muqtadi. But in the case of the lady, she will stand completely behind her husband.
Okay, that's it. We have our answers there. So if you have any questions to any topics, and every fourth night, Mufti Sahib joins us in the studios, and if we can answer any of these questions, please do fax us or phone in the radio station, and we will try and answer them. And we're going to carry on now with our topic, Dajjal Part 5, and the series up to now, up to Part 4, is available at the radio station. So if you wish to purchase it, please call 854-7024. Today we are discussing the minor signs, and inshallah, if we have time, we will go on to the introduction and the personality of Dajjal. The number to call in is 854-6854, and we can carry on, please.
We were discussing in the previous four lessons concerning the minor signs to some detail. Continuing from there, in tonight's session, I would like to mention a few more minor signs and then go over the minor signs quickly, and you can determine how many minor signs have already taken place. After that, I would like to introduce you to the topic of Dajjal, because originally we intended to talk about Dajjal, and I felt it fit that we speak about the minor signs, because that definitely leads to the coming of Mahdi, and then Dajjal, then Isa alayhi salam. Concerning the minor signs, after tonight's program, you as a listener can get these 5 tapes from the radio station, and they will be extremely comprehensive as far as minor signs are concerned. It is related in an authentic hadith compiled in Bukhari that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam stated, the last hour will not be established until earthquakes will increase in number. We can see now that every month there is some earthquake taking place in some part of the world. This hadith is narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated in a hadith, Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala narrates, hadith is in the Musnad of Ahmad, the last hour will not be established till Allah takes his devotees and religious adherents from the earth. Thus there will remain those people who are riffraff and hooligans, and who will neither be aware of the virtues, and they will be involved in vices. In this hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned various things, that religious personalities will be taken away, because Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one other hadith has stated that knowledge, ilm, will disappear. So Sahaba inquired, how? How will ilm disappear? Will it disappear from the books? No, the religious personalities who are the upholders or of the knowledge, they will be taken out, away, they will pass away. Yearly we can see, for example, in the last few years, and especially the last year, many notable ulama ikram from throughout the world have been taken away, are passing away. And unfortunately left are those who are very eloquent in speech and who impress their audiences with their accents, but propagate falsehood, wrong teachings, false beliefs. And unfortunately people think that these are scholars of Islam. So the worthy people, the knowledgeable people, and those who are bestowed with true, divine, pure knowledge of truth are being taken away, and left are those who are incapable, incompetent, who try to impress the people, their followers, and issue completely wrong fatwas. So we should be very careful. Just as a person, he is particular about his purchases, he should be very careful where he gets his knowledge from. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in one hadith that destruction will take place. People who are going to be destroyed. Sahaba ikram asked, shall we be destroyed though they are righteous people amongst us? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, should evil increase. This hadith is in Bukhari. Here Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, and we should take note, because some people are under the impression that in my locality there is a pious personality, or in my country there are pious personalities, no harm will come to us. This is wrong. No harm will come to us when enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil, as how it's supposed to be done, is done on a large scale. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy descends. But when we do not enjoin what is good, forbid what is evil, and especially the ulama ikram, when they do not do this, enjoining what is good, viciously and forbidding what is evil properly and correctly, then the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends. As we can see it throughout history and also what is currently happening throughout the entire world, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger is descending, although there are pious personalities in that locality, in that province, in that country. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I will narrate you a hadith, and none other than I will tell you about it. I heard Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, from amongst the signs of the hour are the following. Number one, religious knowledge will decrease. How? By the death of religious learned men. Although, alhamdulillah, we, for example, in South Africa, we boast throughout the world that we have got so many radio stations, we have got so many ulama in our country, and we have got so many darulums in our country, we have got the madrasa system, we have got the makadib system, and now, alhamdulillah, because of the publications and the pamphleteering and the leaflets and the radio station, even the females, they are becoming like half alims. And all that is happening, with all that, still knowledge is disappearing because the ulama, haqqani, rabbani are disappearing, are dying. And this is a point to worry about. And unfortunately, we are so gullible that any person who is claiming to be a good alim, or any person who is claiming that he is a scholar of Islam, we run behind them, not worried about what he is saying and how is he saying it, whether it is authentic or reliable, whether it is in conformity to Sharia. And those who are in reality the scholars and in reality the true torchbearers of Islam, they are left aside because they are classified orthodox, fundamental, or they are classified backwards, etc. Number two, religious ignorance will prevail. Now a person listening to us will say, how come? We have got so many radio stations, we have got pamphlets, we have got Jummah khutbas, we have got ulama ikram, we have got the Jamaat going door to door, we have got so many things happening. How can religious there'll be religious ignorance? Respected brothers and sisters, that if you just go around the corner and inquire about Muslims and how they behave, what they're supposed to be doing, that you'll be surprised that a person does not know how to read the first kalima properly. And a person, most people, they don't even know how to go to toilet properly. Many who are listening, that you inquire from your brother, your sister, mother, father, your neighbor, your friend, your cousin, your relative, those whom you it's permissible for you to talk to, that inquire that when I go to toilet in summer, how do I wash? And when I go to toilet in winter, how do I wash? And when I go, the men, how do they wash? And the female, how do they wash? And these are all Islamic teachings, simple teachings. How to sit and eat, what are the du'as attached to it, how to make two rakats of salat, do we know how to do it? Let alone three rakats of salat. Do we know fundamentals of deen, basics of deen? A story comes in mind which I'll narrate quickly, that alhamdulillah, the Jamaat goes out throughout the entire world. Allah Ta'ala grant the barakat. That they went to one place where they were only Arabs. And they made their program, had their program. After that, Salat time came. These Arabs were speaking Arabic. So they made wuzu, and they told the person, now you are the sahib bait, you are the owner of the house, it's your right to make the imamat, you should go forward. He said, yeah, go forward and do what? He's speaking Arabic. Go forward and do what? He said, no, go forward. You must read Surah Fatiha. So what's this Surah Fatiha? He's speaking Arabic. He's speaking the language of the Quran, but he does not know Surah Fatiha. Respected listeners, you may think this strange, but inquire from your own household that do they know how to recite Surah Fatiha, the small surahs correctly. you would be shocked to find out that what is the level of our education. But these very same people who don't even know, there was once a discussion that a person was having a highly philosophical discussion and deliberation and mental gymnastics about Islam and trying to solve the whole problem of the entire world in one city. Then at the end of that gathering he said, yeah, let us read our first kalima, Bismillah, and go and sleep. He does not know the first kalima, but is prepared to deliberate. Most of the people who project themselves as scholars don't even know the basics. 3, there will be prevalence of open, illegal sexual intercourse. We see this happening, let alone in this country. It's happening throughout the entire world. And in the name of freedom, in the name of freedom of expression, freedom of action. And you can see that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated in one hadith that such ailments and diseases will come upon the ummah that they have not heard of before. We can see it by the way of AIDS, cancer. And this AIDS that is killing and is going to kill provinces at a time, it's going to be killing countries and wiping off countries at a time, that instead of saying no relationship, they are saying no, you should have safe relationship. Instead of saying that this illegal relationship is haram, they say no, you can carry on with the illegal relationship, but it has to be done utilizing birth control methods. And the governments pass these regulations, they are happy with it, they promote it, they're letting the sin of illegal relationship to go out of control. That is why the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon mankind, that allowing this loose relationship to go on unabated. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon the countries this wabal, this calamity, and unfortunately AIDS is spreading so widely that they are statistically stating that countries may be wiped out. Women will increase in number so much that 50 women will be cared after one man. Now this is happening, and statistically showing that the number of females is increasing day by day. This increase is due to various things, civil wars, the wars that are carrying on, and the political wars, the POWs, and also because of AIDS and ailments, men die in abundance. Because of calamities, earthquakes and floods, men die, leaving behind the females to such an extent that this number is rapidly increasing day by day. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, hadith is in Muslim, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the famine will not break out because of drought, but there will be famine despite heavy rainfall, so that nothing will grow from the earth. Here Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying something, that there will be rain, but there will be so much rain that the rain will destroy the land, and that land will not produce. We see currently that certain parts of the world, there is so much rain that is going to destroy rice plantations in so many places. That rice, which requires the rain and requires the water for its nourishment and growth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting so much rain there that now there is too much of rain, and the rice which requires the water is getting too much of water. In one hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that when man behaves obediently, then whilst he is asleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down rain, gentle, soaking, absorbing, blessed rain, while man who is obedient is sleeping, so that he is not harmed by anything. And when he gets up, this obedient man, and when he rises, then he rises to sunshine, pleasantness. That is when man is obedient. But when man becomes disobedient towards the hour, he becomes disobedient, then so much of rain comes that he cannot control. He cannot control his own life. So, respected listeners, we have extensively went through many signs of Day of Judgment, and we can see from the list that we have presented and how many of those signs are gone. What I am going to do now, in the next few minutes, summarize the previous 4 hours for you. And you as a listener, I appeal to you that as I mention the sign in brief, you mentally decide, has this sign occurred? Where are we heading to? Has this sign taken place? Are we closer towards the coming of Mahdi? Are we closer towards the coming of Dajjal? So, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated many ahadithes, the disappearance of knowledge and the appearance of ignorance. We spoke about that. Book writing will be widespread and knowledge will be low. The amount of literature available today was not available 10 years ago. And because I am in this field, I know that what took us 5 years ago to produce one book, if it took us then, it took us 3 months to produce a book, now it takes us a month. Because of all the technological advancements we have got with us, because all the software we have got with us, with all the electronic equipment we have got with us, it's very easy to write a book, compile a book, edit a book, publish a book, send it in for printing. And the printing systems, of 10 years ago and now, completely different. There was a time you only could print one page at a time. Nowadays, there are machinery available that you can print 32 pages at a time. 32 pages at a time can be printed. And a normal small printer, he can print for you 16 to 8 pages at a time. So the volume and the output of literature, of magazines also has become very fashionable. And every person who got a pen in his hand is writing about Islam, male and female, whether it is right or wrong. As long as you can have some ulama backing you, you can write something. And have their forwards inside. Poor, sometimes the person does not even realize what he is writing a forward for. But because he is coaxed and called into writing a forward, he writes it. And the magazine or the newsletter or the journal gets prominence and becomes available everywhere. Adultery and fornication will be prevalent. Unfortunately, this has become so rife that it is no more regarded as a sin in certain circles. That we have gone so low that sin is no more regarded as sin. And this adultery and fornication ruins the person in this world, in the grave, and in the akhirat. When fornication becomes widespread amongst your leaders, unfortunately, because in many areas the leaders are the wealthy, and the leaders are the ones who got the influence, and the leaders, because of their wealth, they go towards comfort, ease, and they go towards immorality. And immorality is so freely available in so-called democratic countries, and especially in our country also. That round the corner, you have got shops, and round the other corner, you can pick up videos, and round the other corner, every last thing is available. So, the leaders, and unfortunately, the leaders who are involved with adultery and fornication, and the leaders who are involved with the last immoral activity, they are sometimes the trustees of the masjids, and they are sometimes the trustees of the institutes. Then how can we get barakat in our institutes? How can we get barakat in our masajids, etc.? The consummation, the taking of intoxicants will be widespread. Nowadays, what has happened, giving it a different name. Because it comes in the hadith too, there will come a time when halal will become haram, and haram will become halal. And the haram, which is clearly haram, people will give it a different name and try to legalize it. Like how are they trying to legalize interest, giving it a different name and make it, classifying it profit and saying, no, this is permissible. So, these haram intoxicants, they are trying to give it different names and bring it onto the market so people may consume it. Destroying factors in a society are drugs, alcohol, fornication, adultery, immorality, and consuming of haram. Women will outnumber men, as we have discovered, eventually 50-1. And in the hadith, it says killing, more killing and killing. This we see throughout the globe. And the world has become like a global village that we can see daily, the media, whichever media it is, that there is widespread killing, and especially of Muslims. The nations of the earth will gather against the Muslims like hungry people going to sit down to a table full of food. This will occur when Muslims are large in number, but like the foam of the sea. Foam of the sea cannot drown you or cannot harm you so much. But it looks very vicious. The kuffar, mushrikeen, as you see, coalition. They all come together and they sit around the tables, plotting, planning, trying to destroy Islam, trying to destroy Muslims. People will beat others with whips like the tails of oxen. You can see this going on in the trade centers using this modern technology, etc. Children will be filled with rage because injustice has been done to them, or because they are beginning to become rebellious, disobedient to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Children will be foul, according to Tabrani and Hakim, meaning that the children will become ill-mannered. Every other home is asking some molana, can you tell me what to read to blow on my child, that he becomes obedient? Can you tell me how can I control my child? Have you ever thought of this, that the child is disobedient? Why? Were you disobedient to your father? Did you treat your father properly that you want your son to treat you properly? Did you treat your mother properly for your daughter to treat you properly? There is always this reaction, and there are some stories that we can quote to you that when a person does not treat his father properly, then eventually his son doesn't treat him properly. Women will conspire. Now, because of the so-called women's liberation, equality of women, and these kuffar governments are set in motion that bring women out of their homes, out of the place of safety, and put them now, so-called, to discuss with men, and bring them. Now, women are even conspiring, and they say, make statements like 500,000 Iraqi children when they lost their lives, they say this was no problem. It was cheap price to pay. Rain will be acidic and burning. This we can see, that rain is supposed to be beneficial to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns this rain and it destroys vegetation, it destroys the crop, it destroys the economy of the country. Children of fornication will become widespread or prevalent. To such an extent that 10 years ago, you take any country in the world at the moment, 10 years ago, how many orphanages there were? 10 years ago, how many homes of safety there were? 10 years ago, how many homes there were for children? And now look, every other town, whether it be Muslim or non-Muslim, you've got children there, they don't know who the father is, who the mother is. This is not only in South Africa. Throughout the entire world, this is happening. There, the child does not know who his father is, who his mother is. So children of fornication, that means born out of, not out of wedlock, born out of illegal, illicit relationship, they are on the increase. When a trust becomes a means of making a profit, this is rather sad, that this amanat, this trust, especially when it comes to monetary issues, when it comes to money and finance, then people regard this, oh, this is a nice method of making money. And people con simple people and get money out of them. And the last trick is used to take out money from Muslims and to take out money from simple Muslims, so that the collector, he becomes wealthy, living in luxury and sin. Gains will be shared out only amongst the rich, were no benefit to the poor. The kuffar economical system is designed and promoted, especially in third world countries, where the rich become richer and the poor become poorer. And they promote this in the way of democracy, liberalization, globalization, so that unfortunately the rich become stinking rich and the poor begin to grovel in poverty and in want. Paying zakat becomes a burden and miserliness becomes widespread. Charity is given reluctantly. We, especially here in South Africa, and as Muslims, we think we are doing wonders. First of all, we think we're doing wonders by going to masjid for salat. And we get this impression that we think we're doing Allah Ta'ala a favor by going to salat in the masjid. The other thing, that we take out so much, so little for charity, and we think we're taking out too much. We should just take stock of ourselves, that Sahaba Ikram, radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, how much they took out from their finances to help the needy, wayfarer, widow, orphan, and to promote jihad in every aspect. And how much we take out? We take out 5% and we think we take out 95%. And Sahaba Ikram took out 95% and they thought they were taking out 5%. That is why they got success and we not getting success. And we, when we take out very reluctant. There are no madrasas, there are no makatibs there. There are no ulama working in the poor areas. And there is no one to fund them. And we think by contributing some sum to Palestine, Afghanistan, etc., we have done wonders. Yes, you will get rewarded. But think about the hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that when the Sahabi came with a little bit, and he earned that little bit, he poured it on the entire collection. And he said that this will give barakah and blessing to the entire collection. Comparatively, it was little, but it was lot for that Sahabi to give. So when we change our attitude, that let alone charity, that if every Muslim in this country gives zakat properly, correctly, in the right places, there'll be not a starving Muslim family in this country. There'll be not a Muslim family in this country with his hand outstretched. That is, if we give our zakat and we spread it properly via the correct channels in this country. Episodes of sudden death will become widespread. That you can see from the radio station. Every now and then we have interruptions. Sudden death. And especially in our country, where lawlessness is becoming the order of life. Hijacking, murder, looting. For a cell phone, you get shot and killed. For some money, 10 rand, you get shot and killed. For not coming out of your car very quickly, you get shot and killed. For parking in the wrong place, you get shot and killed. And sudden death in amongst the elderly and amongst the young. Previously, young, you should not hear of dying. But now, anything is happening and everything is happening. Hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is true. There will be people who will be brethren in public, but enemies in secret. He was asked how that this would come about. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied, because they will have ulterior motives in their mutual dealings, and at the same time will fear one another. You see this, and daily you see this, that when people meet each other, they will smile at each other, and they will greet each other. They will handshake, they will hug each other, they will embrace each other. But as soon as they turn around, then they'll caucus against each other. They'll backbite, slander, spread wrong information about each other. And repeatedly we get complaints that why must I go to the meeting? There is caucusing before the caucus. There is decision making before the actual decisions. There is steamrolling in the meetings. So why must you go to the meeting? Because all this has been decided by the caucus who are like thugs. When a man obeys his wife and disobeys his mother and treats his friend kindly while shunning his father. Unfortunately, this is the reality. That you'll see a person that he is like a tiger outside. And as soon as he goes towards his wife, then finished, everything is over. She tells him how high to jump, because he's jumping all the time. But outside, he's very brave. Yeah, I'm not saying that we should oppress, or any man should oppress his wife. If a husband oppresses his wife on the day of judgment, he's in trouble. And he's in big trouble. But he should be fair, he should be just, and he should not override the wishes of his mother, especially when she wants something permissible, and when she wants his help, his aid. If he is elderly and needy, and if he requires his assistance, then he should definitely give. And he should be a person who is the captain of the ship, seeing to the needs of his mother and his wife, without creating any difficulty between them. Nowadays you see a person, when he's with his friends, he's happy, and when he's with his own father, he's not smiling. Meanwhile, supposed to be equal, that he should be cordial, helpful to everybody. When voices are raised in the masjid, unfortunately this is happening, that voices are being raised in our masajid. And if you look at some other countries, I have been to other countries, I would not like to take the names of the other countries, that after the Faraz Salat, you cannot make out whether you are in the masjid or whether you are in their local bazaar. So much of noise is taking place, voices are being raised in the masajid. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he has spoken out about raising voices in the masajid. People will talk, people will walk in the marketplace with their thighs exposed. Now remember, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated this so long ago. Forget thighs exposed, people are walking, forgetting how to dress, or forgetting to dress and walking around. And let alone male, females also. So the exposure of the parts which are supposed to be concealed, it has no more gain, prevalence, and no importance is attached. People are walking semi-naked, naked, transparent clothing, tight-fitting clothing, all this is going on. And this is the sign of the hour. Great distances will be traversed in short spans of time. This every person knows because of the aeroplane and because of the mode of transport. A person, he can make Fajr in one country, Zohar in another country, Asr in another country, Maghrib in another country, and Isha he can make back in his own country, because of the mode of transport and because of the swiftness of this transport. The people of Iraq will receive no food and no money due to oppression by the Romans, meaning the Western nations. Hadith is in Muslim. We can see this. And now they are deciding to attack Iraq. If time permits, maybe not now, but when I come back, I will discuss, and someone should remind me, that why the USA wants to attack Iraq in particular. People will hop between the clouds and the earth. The aeroplane is doing this, and we can see this. Yeah, I would like to mention that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying this 1,423 years ago. And he's saying this to basically Bedouin Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, telling them that people are going to be hopping between the clouds and the earth. And we can see how true it is. There, with the aeroplane, this hopping is taking place. A tribulation will enter everyone's home. This can be interpreted in various ways. Ailments, sickness, the evil of television, the evil of quarreling, fighting, the evil of music, the evil of fornication and adultery. The leader of a people will be the worst of them. This I have elaborated enough on, that unfortunately the leaders sometimes are the most corrupt. People will treat a man with respect out of fear of some evil he might do. Most of those who are working unfortunately complain about their bosses, and they have to greet them twice and have to salute them, and they cannot say anything against their bosses. No sooner they say it, they are fired. This goes to the people who are employed in institutes, Muslim institutes, Muslim organizations, madaris, and the sometimes Darul Ulooms, sometimes the trustees give the ulama ikram a completely raw deal. men will begin to wear silk clothing and gold. Female singers and musical instruments will become popular. Unfortunately, to such an extent that they are trying to modify now Nats, and they are trying to modify all these things and legalize it and bring it onto the radio stations too. And they say, no, this is all ecosystems. And this is all to do with basically trying to introduce even music in our so-called legal radio stations. People will dance up to the late night. The infrastructure of most cities cater for this dancing, womanizing, female singers, music, 24 hours a day. When the last ones of the Ummah begin to curse the first one, every person, unfortunately, who thinks he's scholar of Islam, whenever he wants to decide to do something, first thing he'll do is try to criticize the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And the Muslim public, when they say, oh, what a scholar this is, he is criticizing Sahaba, what a person this is, he's criticizing the Anbiya. Meanwhile, this person is safer to be under the ground than above the ground. People will claim to follow the Quran, but will reject the Hadith and Sunnah. And again, these people who reject openly the Hadith and Sunnah, they have been classified as very good people. They have been classified as scholars. Meanwhile, those who reject the Hadith and Sunnah, they are definitely out of the fold of Islam. People will believe in stars. We have commented that. People will reject Takdir. Especially, for example, what happened in Afghanistan. The people are so despondent that they begin to reject Takdir. We should not be despondent. We are people who believe in Takdir. Allah Ta'ala's will is like that. Inshallah, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will give the Taliban, the Mujahideen, victory over those who are oppressing them. Time will pass rapidly. Good deeds will decrease. Smog will appear over cities because of the evil that they are doing. People will be carrying on trade, but there will be only a few trustworthy people. Wealth will increase so much that if a man were given 10,000, he will not be satisfied with it. A man will pass by a grave and wish that he was in their place. Earthquakes will increase. There will be attempts to make the desert green. But that you see what the Gulf states are trying to do. And now they do it, and they have what you call golf tournaments in those areas to please this Western kuffar. The appearance of false messengers, 30 dajjals. The woman will be naked in spite of being dressed. These women will be leading astray and led astray. The conquest of Constantinople by Muslims. The conquest of India by Muslims, just prior to the return of Isa alayhi salam. When people begin to compete with each other in the construction of taller buildings, better masjid. Every person wants to build a masjid, now he wants to build a more expensive masjid, not even conducive to the area. Meanwhile, 3 masjids can be built in the poor areas. There will be special greeting for the people of distinction. We notice that. The Euphrates will disclose a treasure. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated that when that treasure comes out, we should not take. 2 large groups adhering to the same religious teachings will fight each other with large number of casualties. Wild animals will be able to talk to human beings. A man will leave his home and his thigh or whip will tell him what is happening back at home. Advanced technological television equipment is allowing people to do that. Years of deceit in which the truthful person will not be believed and the liar will be believed. This has become the order of the day. The liar is classified truthful and the truthful is classified liar. Bearing false witness will become widespread. When men will lie with men and women with women, to such an extent that lesbianism, homosexuality has become legal in some countries. That man can marry man, woman can marry woman. All this is part of progress, civilization. Trade will become so widespread that woman will be forced to help her husband in business. Unfortunately, we see this happening on a large scale. And people, what they say, no, I'm gone for some dini activity so that my wife can stand in the shop. So you gone for some dini activity and your wife is talking to strangers. That's okay. How can that be okay? That you are going there to do something good and something evil is happening behind your back. There's no justification. that I am going to strive in the path of Allah, or I am going to attend one seminar, or I am going to attend one conference, or I am going to with a group of ulama and my wife is in the shop. This is absolutely trying to bend the law. Few more points, inshallah, and we'll conclude. A woman will enter the workforce out of the love for this world. Some places you don't know who's controlling the business, the lady or the man, and who's making the decisions. Arrogance will increase on earth. Arrogance, especially leadership, arrogance and pride destroys working relationship, and it ruins the staff. Family ties will be cut. And people are proud these days, and people make wrong statements that the son will tell the, or the mother will tell the son, and vice versa, etc. Don't come to my funeral when I die. These should not be done. This is the age of cementing family ties. There will be many women of childbearing age who will no longer give birth, either due to immorality, due to not desiring children, due to ailment and sickness and disease, and also due to the loose life that they live. They do not want to have any children. There will be abundance of food, much of which has no blessings in it. I have been informed that even the salt and the sugar of the day has got no blessings. That the salt of the yesteryear was better than the salt of today. And the sugar, those days people said they were using 1 teaspoon of sugar. Now they're using 2 teaspoons of sugar. And from the same factory it is coming. So the barakah is going. People will refuse when offered food. You notice many places, beggars don't want food, they want wealth. Men will begin to look like women, and women will look like men. So respected listeners, time has run out, but alhamdulillah, we feel satisfied that we have gone today through all, and most in fact, the minor signs, and you can see from what we have read out, and what we have spoken, that the minor signs have taken place. And we should be getting ready and preparing ourselves very carefully and cautiously for the major signs. And we also must realize the sequence of the major signs. The coming of Mahdi, the appearance of Dajjal, and then the coming of Isa alayhi salam. Concerning now the minor signs, we have now spoken for about 5 hours over 5 sessions, and these can be obtained from the radio station. Concerning the coming and the appearance of Mahdi over the air, we have done over 6 hours. Also, you can get it from the radio station. Inshallah, when we come back, I will discuss now 2 things. One is Dajjal. Who is he? Where can he go? Where he cannot go, his physical appearance, when will he come, what will he do, who will kill him, where will he die, his appearance, all that we will discuss. But prior to that, I will discuss what we call the system of Dajjal, the current system which is prevalent in the world, activated and motivated by the controllers who want to take over the world, preparing the coming of Dajjal. Because when Dajjal comes, he is going to be the king of the oppressors, the king of the tyrants, the king of the evil people, and he is going to be the king of the murderers and looters and dacoits. He is going to be the worst one, which Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about, and he is going to finally direct everything against the Muslims and even the Christians. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to understand this, understand the sequence, and also realize something very basic, that after killing of Dajjal by Isa alayhi salam, then Yajuj Majuj come, then Gog and Magog come. Some people who are classifying themselves as great scholars, they say no, Yajuj Majuj has come, and they are busy drinking up the water of the lake of Galilee, etc. These such beliefs are completely contrary to the Quran and Sunnah and teaching of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat. It is a unanimous decision of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat that the Yajuj Majuj have not come as yet. But people, and unfortunately simple Muslims also say, yes, these people are scholars and they look like very pious personalities, we should listen to them. And they say that Yajuj Majuj has come. These are false, fallacious, pernicious teachings which should not be relied upon. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to understand these.
JazakAllah Mufti Sahab. Our time is up now, and coming up now we have our Adhan, and then followed by our Qirat, which is recited today by Sheikh Hani Rifai. And don't forget, after the Isha Salah and the Qirat, we have our Masa'ij program, and tonight he's discussing marriage. From myself and Mufti Izzias, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.